Morning.
Good morning.
So how many of you grew up with Easter as a big dress-up deal? You got new clothes, new shoes, yes. Are any of you old enough to have had a hat and gloves, little girls? Yes. And did you sing in your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it? Yes. Fewer people grow up in church these days, but if you're like me, you have lived through a lot of Easters. Some I celebrated, some I ignored. And after 40, 50, 60, for some of you it's over 80 Easters, what is there to say about it? I'm actually asking you. What is Easter about?
Renewal,
rebirth. Resurrection, very good. And what do we have to do to be reborn? She said it, die. You have to die. You have to die to the old life, but that's the secret of Easter. To have a resurrection, you have to die first. So we started talking about this last week when we looked at the steps Jesus took on his way to the cross. He didn't avoid it. He rode into Jerusalem with a parade. He tried to gather the support of his friends, and they lasted all, until Thursday night. And most of them couldn't handle it. They ran away. He prayed. He stayed connected with his inner wisdom. He surrendered. Not my will, but thine be done. He knew this was his purpose on earth. And he let it play out despite any fears. And he forgave everyone around him, knowing they were just agents of the universe, helping him carry out his purpose. That line in Matthew where Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" is better translated from Aramaic, "For this was my destiny." And finally, at the end, he let go. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." So let's pick up there with the letting go. In order to be resurrected, he had to die. In order to be reborn, we have to die. Now, what do we mean by reborn? It's not born again in the traditional sense. And what do we mean by singing Christ is risen when we claim we are the Christ too? That the same spirit that was in Jesus is in us. Jesus was showing us what's possible for human beings when we are fully aligned with God. We are divine just as he was. We are God in human form, made in the image and likeness. That's what we teach in Unity. But then what is resurrection in us? So I guess there's still a lot to talk about and wonder about on Easter, no matter how many you've lived through. Has there been an Easter when you felt reborn? Has there been any time in your life when you felt reborn? Yes, some, okay. For me, it's a process more than an event. But I think that's why we're all here. We believe in transformation. We believe in elevating our awareness until we can see the world increasingly from divine consciousness, which is a place of love and forgiveness and surrender, just as Jesus modeled for us. And that's the Christian story, whatever words you use. Sinner to saved, tomb to light, life on earth to ascension into heaven. Those are symbols. That language, that story is about transformation. And it represents what happens to all of us if we stay conscious and tuned into our inner wisdom. We are the Christ. We are God in expression. And those continual cycles of death and rebirth move us like a spiral higher into that awareness. But to be resurrected, to walk out of the tomb into the bright light of morning, to live in the joy of divine awareness, we have to die first. How many of you would love to be reborn and live in joy if you didn't have to die to get there? In a purely temporal sense, Jesus was executed as a political prisoner. This was a free speech issue. He said things that threatened the powers that be. They thought he was threatening a takeover when he talked about the kingdom of God, because they already had a kingdom of God. The emperor of Rome was God. and Palestine was part of the Roman Empire. But why they crucified him is really incidental to the story. Jesus had to die physically in order to be reborn spiritually. He had to let go of his physical life. Now, the disciples were sure he was the Messiah, the one the Jews had been waiting for. And then he was killed like a criminal. He was put to death. And they had to let go of him as a friend and a teacher, let go of the idea he was the Messiah, let go of the hope that he would take over. And they, like the powers that be, had pictured the kingdom of heaven as Jesus sitting on a throne ruling the world, but peacefully. They had to let it all go. Their dreams had to die. And part of the pain in any loss is the death of the dream. The future is not going to be the way we pictured it. And in that initial shock and pain of loss, it's hard to imagine that this could be making way for something even better. But we have to die to be resurrected. And we, like Jesus, are dying on behalf of humanity. In this sense, increasingly, we know that we are physically hardwired for lives that are small and cautious. It's just our brain. Our animal natures still keep us on the lookout for whatever can hurt us or threaten us. Fight or flight. And overcoming that fear and negativity is a Herculean task. And every time we manage it, we are evolving consciously. We are pushing the human species forward. We are working on behalf of humanity. That's why you're so tired. And here's another bit of human nature. People will work much harder to hang on to what they have than they will to acquire something new. Advertisers know this. Hang on to your youthful looks. Buy our anti-aging cream. Hang on to your friends. Don't drive them away with bad breath. Hang on to your money with insurance and retirement accounts. So what can you let go? When can you trust that it's time to die? I was in Phoenix this past week, a whirlwind trip between Sundays. Unity of Phoenix is a great big church. They have a Wednesday night service, and they were talking about the two speakers who had just been through Phoenix, through that church, Anita Morjani and Eben Alexander, back to back. They both have hugely successful books about their near-death experiences. You've heard me talk about Anita Morjani, Dying to Be Me, is her book. She died of cancer, went to the other side, decided to come back, and knew that she would be returning to a healed body. And that's what happened. Eben Alexander has a newer book called Proof of Heaven. He's a neurologist. He knows he was brain dead. He can go back and look at his records now. He knows this was not endorphins firing off in his brain. But he had an experience on the other side too. People who have died and lived to tell about it come back and say it's okay to die. In fact, it's wonderful. They talk about the feeling of expansion and the peace and love after they let go. Someone in Phoenix, they were telling this story. Someone asked Anita Morjani if she meditates. And she kind of hemmed and hawed, and she finally said, "Look, people meditate to get to where I am." She said she has to sort of unmeditate to stay grounded. Divine consciousness is bliss. It's unmitigated joy. Now, what would you let go of to make room for that kind of joy in your life? Have you ever had a new car that wouldn't fit into the garage because there was so much stuff in the garage? This is that same kind of clearing out process. We can't allow more into our lives until some of what's there has died and been cleared away. Death is the secret of resurrection. You have to die to be reborn. But we fight death, don't we? And label it a tragedy. So did the people around Jesus. So here is a great and timeless story about that. This is Matthew's version. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." That's what angels always say. The angel said, "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you," the angel said. So the women left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met the women and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, because there they will see me." The Bible is full of "do not be afraid." So Jesus met the disciples in Galilee on a mountain, presumably to ascend to heaven from there. Matthew isn't explicit about that. Mark and Luke have ascension scenes. So try this metaphor for what happened to Jesus. Picture a glass of water in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It contains all the properties of water, but what real good is it? I mean, you could drink it and you might be grateful, but you can't sail ships on it, you can't surf on it. If the water evaporates and becomes part of all the water in the atmosphere, the clouds, the rain, the rivers, the oceans, where does it have more power? With a body, Jesus' influence was only local, Galilee. Once he passed through death, he was in that place of expansion and love and peace and joy and all the things they talk about. Jesus had more power after death as a purely spiritual being, as a part of the whole, the one. And the disciples slowly figured this out. They had to roll away the stone in their own minds, let go of their concepts and beliefs about Jesus and themselves. And they kind of got that instead of an outward kingdom maintained by force, as all kingdoms are, they began to see that Jesus had meant a spiritual kingdom, a change in the minds and hearts of people. Didn't he say the kingdom is within? Oh! Their old dreams and ambitions were crushed. They died. But the disciples, too, were resurrected, and they knew life was greater than they had ever seen it before. I checked in with Rocco Errico, who is a minister who has studied Aramaic and Middle Eastern customs, and he sheds so much light on the life of Jesus. When the angel said, "He is risen," it's the same in Aramaic as "he got up," like you do every morning. He got up. But it also means he has come through. He has succeeded. So the angel was saying, death will not silence Jesus. His influence will only spread now. One of the things I love about unity is that we don't get stuck in the crucifixion. We don't return again and again to what happened on Friday. We focus on Jesus' teachings. And his final, best, and greatest teaching was that we live forever. We are eternal beings, spiritual beings, who use these physical bodies only for our human experience. And when we're finished here, we lay the bodies aside like a suit of clothes at the end of the day. Our spirit lives on. Our essence is eternal. We don't get stuck on Friday, but we have to participate fully in the death, or a rebirth on Easter isn't possible. So what would have to die for you? A past experience, a thought, a belief, a way of living, to decide that joy is the most important thing in your life? What could you let go of? in order to enjoy life, to enjoy yourself, enjoy being you. And you are the Christ, remember. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. In Greek, it's Christos, the base of our word Christ. It means the anointed one. Who anointed Jesus? Mary Magdalene. At the beginning of the final week, she brought the expensive perfume and anointed him with it. That story is told in all four Gospels in slightly different ways. The other people were shocked, not because Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The church invented that much later. But she was a woman, and Jesus treated her like she was important. They were shocked. Mary Magdalene may be the only one of Jesus' followers who understood what he was about. She was the only one who stayed with him throughout the crucifixion. While the men ran away and hid, as much as we've emphasized betrayal and abandonment, Mary Magdalene stayed with him. Jesus was not entirely abandoned. At least one person got his message and followed it. Jesus was anointed at the hands of this vilified woman, Mary Magdalene. And she was the first one at the tomb on Sunday, the first one to know he got up. He succeeded. She was the first to see the evidence of eternal life. Jesus was executed because he threatened the establishment. And you know what? He still does. What would we insist on if we were truly living in Christ consciousness? Christ consciousness is illuminated consciousness. It is a worldview of love, forgiveness, compassion, inclusivity, and peace. How radical would it be to truly live like that? Not just as individuals, but as nations, as a planet. How many people and institutions would be threatened? And how much more power would we have as spiritual beings than being limited to a physical location? Well, we are spiritual beings. We can tap into the one mind, connect with God and everyone else just as Jesus did, like a massive universal internet. So the secret of Easter is you have to die to be reborn. You have to let go of beliefs and expectations of the future. You have to let your purpose on earth play out and know that others are here to help you with that, even if they look like enemies. You are the Christ in human form, as Jesus was. You are connected to the One, and you have all the attributes of the divine hardwired in you. Anita Morjani returned from death to say, "We are magnificent beings." So did Jesus. So this Easter week, I would invite you to ask yourself, what do I need to let go of to make room for that much joy? Let's take these thoughts into meditation. We meditate by becoming comfortable, taking a deep breath, close your eyes if you like, and turn within to that place where you feel connected. You always are connected, but there's a place where you feel it. Turn within to that place where peace passes understanding. And call up the magnificence of who you are. Set aside what you've done, how you look, what other people think of you. This is the divine being in you. This is the part of you that is spirit, is God. This is the image of God within you. This is the higher self or inner wisdom that is always with you, always available. whatever primitive wiring our brains may still have. We are the Christ. And as spiritual beings, we are more powerful than anything local or physical or human. We must have volunteered for this human journey to practice that spiritual connection, even on this dense and troubled planet. It's been 2,000 years since we were assured that life goes on and that it's safe to let go. So in a moment of silence, pick one thing that you are willing to let go of to make room for more joy. In this letting go, we die to old beliefs, old ways of living, old thoughts, and particularly the old self-images that may still keep us limited. We let them go. We make room. And we let that emptiness be filled with joy of the divine, with the awareness of our connection to God, with the oneness of all beings. And we are grateful. Amen.